Israel attacks Qatar. On the afternoon of September 9, 2025, a series of explosions shook Doha, the capital of Qatar, sending plumes of black smoke over the Lake Tafia Qatara district. Eyewitnesses, photographs, and Reuters on-scene reporting confirmed multiple detonations in Doha on September 9, with smoke columns rising near the Lake Tafia petrol station, adjacent to a residential compound guarded by Qatar's Amiri Guard. Emergency vehicles were quickly dispatched to the area. Unlike many past operations where Israel refused comment, the IDF and Shin Bet issued statements within hours claiming a joint precise strike against Hamas leadership in Doha. Israeli officials framed the attack as part of a broader campaign against Hamas following the October 2023 war. International law violations. The September 9, 2025 strike on Doha was not merely a military act. It represented a direct assault on the international legal order and on the fragile architecture that enables states and peoples to negotiate peace. This chapter examines the legal dimensions of the strike under the United Nations Charter and customary international law, and then considers the symbolic and practical consequences for future mediation efforts, ceasefire talks, and the safety of host nations that provide diplomatic space. Article 2.4 of the UN Charter prohibits the use of force against the territorial integrity or political independence of any state. Israel's strike in Doha, carried out without Qatar's consent, falls squarely within this prohibition. Qatar is a sovereign UN member state. There is no ambiguity that its territory may not lawfully be attacked absent a valid exception. The only recognized exception is self-defense under Article 51, triggered when a state suffers an armed attack. Israel has invoked self-defense against Hamas in Gaza and Lebanon, but applying that rationale to Hamas members residing under Qatari protection in Doha is tenuous at best. Qatar was not launching attacks against Israel. Hamas negotiators in Doha were engaged in diplomatic talks, not active combat. The unwilling or unable doctrine sometimes cited to justify cross-border counterterrorism strikes remains highly contested and has never been accepted as lawful when applied against a cooperative state actively engaged in diplomacy. In short, Israel's action in Qatar cannot plausibly be defended as self-defense. It is a use of force in violation of the Charter, amounting to an act of aggression under General Assembly Resolution 3314. From Roman law through the Vienna Conventions, the inviolability of envoys has been a cardinal rule of diplomacy. Negotiators, even adversaries, are guaranteed safe passage and protection. The International Court of Justice has repeatedly emphasized this principle, most famously in the Tehran hostages case, where it described the inviolability of envoys as a cornerstone of international order. Although Hamas is not a recognized state, its negotiators were formally invited by Qatar to conduct ceasefire talks. By hosting them, Qatar extended safe conduct guarantees, and the international community treated them as functional peace envoys, much like Taliban negotiators in Doha or FARC envoys in Havana. Targeting them therefore not only violated Qatari sovereignty, but also shattered the protective veil of negotiation inviolability. The attack represents an egregious affront to Qatar itself. A strike on its capital city, endangering civilians. Conducted without its consent, undermining its right to territorial integrity. Directly sabotaging its role as a neutral mediator, a role enshrined in international practice as a contribution to peace. Under international law, Qatar is entitled to characterize the strike as an armed attack, enabling it to invoke Article 51 self-defense and seek redress before the UN Security Council and International Court of Justice. The chilling effect on diplomacy. The symbolic message of this strike is devastating. Any country that hosts peace talks may be transformed into a battlefield. If negotiators can be targeted in their hotel rooms or diplomatic residences, then host states will hesitate to offer their territory for mediation. Negotiators may refuse to travel, fearing assassination. Diplomatic mediators, such as the UN, Qatar, Egypt, or Norway, may lose credibility as guarantors of safety. The Doha strike blurred the line between battlefield and civilian capital. A residential compound, a petrol station, and surrounding civilian neighborhoods were endangered by a foreign military operation. This undermines the principle of distinction, a pillar of international humanitarian law, and warns other host nations that their civilian infrastructure may be collateral damage simply by engaging in peacemaking. Mediators thrive on trust and neutrality. By striking in Doha, Israel implicitly branded Qatar, a long-standing mediator between Israel and Hamas, as an unsafe venue. The effect is to delegitimize Qatar's mediation and discourage third states from offering similar services. The chilling effect is immediate. Parties to conflicts may calculate that hosting peace talks now paints a target on your capital. This violation goes beyond Qatar. It signals to the world that peace talks are fair game. Diplomatic protections are expendable. Neutral states cannot guarantee safety. Such a precedent erodes the peaceful settlement of disputes mandated by Article 33 of the UN Charter and weakens the already fragile infrastructure of international conflict resolution. Israel as a rogue terrorist state. By striking the capital of a sovereign UN member without justification, Israel has demonstrated that it is willing to violate the most fundamental rules of the international order. This behavior is not isolated. It follows a broader pattern of extraterritorial assassinations, targeted killings, and disregard for host state sovereignty. A rogue state is defined not merely by ideology but by persistent defiance of international norms. Use of force without lawful justification. Disregard for Security Council resolutions. Expansionist or extraterritorial operations beyond legal limits. On all counts, Israel's strike in Doha fits the description. Targeting peace negotiators in a residential area carries the hallmarks of terrorism. Use of violence for political ends. Endangerment of civilians. Message of intimidation not just to Hamas but to Qatar and the wider international community. In this sense, Israel acted not as a responsible state but as a terrorist entity wielding state power. Qatar's response. A state's primary duty is to ensure the security of its citizens and the integrity of its territory. Israel's attack endangered both. Qatar's foreign ministry condemned the incident as a cowardly criminal assault, emphasizing that the strike targeted residential buildings housing Hamas negotiators. Doha denounced it as a serious violation of international law and a breach of Qatari sovereignty. The government announced an immediate investigation at the highest levels. Qatar's unique leverage as a U.S. ally. Qatar hosts the Al Udeid Airbase, the largest U.S. installation in the Middle East, and is designated a major non-NATO ally. Washington depends on Qatar for power projection, logistics, and mediation in the region. The United States has historically used its veto power to block Security Council resolutions critical of Israel. This diplomatic shield has enabled Israel to act with relative impunity. Qatar, however, now has the credibility to argue that continued U.S. protection of Israel undermines Qatar's own sovereignty and security. Expelling the U.S. embassy, a radical but lawful diplomatic measure if the U.S. continues to shield Israel. Reconsidering the U.S. base, suspending or terminating host nation agreements if the base is perceived as failing to protect Qatar or as tacitly enabling Israeli operations. Article 51 Self-Defense. Qatar is legally entitled to treat the strike as an armed attack and to respond proportionately, whether through military measures, cyber operations, or reciprocal diplomatic/economic action. Conclusion. Israel's attack on Doha was an act of state terrorism and rogue conduct, violating the UN Charter and the most basic principles of sovereignty. Qatar, uniquely positioned as a U.S. ally and host to critical American forces, now faces a profound decision: either accept continued U.S. shielding of Israel at the Security Council or assert its sovereignty by demanding change. Should Washington refuse, Qatar has both the legal right and the moral duty to its citizens to take drastic measures, ranging from expelling U.S. diplomatic and military assets to invoking Article 51 self-defense. The choice will define not only Qatar's foreign policy but also the credibility of international law itself.